Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. In springtime, allergies can sometimes be my kryptonite. When my nose is plugged up and my eyes are watering, I feel like I struggle more to do the things I really enjoy. Making dinner, heading outside to get my sunlight before noon, and even hosting the show can be a bit more challenging. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. This double-action combination of prescription-strength allergy medication and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for several years, and it's been an absolute life changer. My eyes aren't a constant, itchy, drippy faucet, my nose isn't running, and I can speak without feeling like something has jumped in my throat. And I love that Claritin D tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Use as directed. Welcome to the 1000 Hours Outside podcast. My name is Ginny Urich. I'm the founder of 1000 Hours Outside, and I have a very special friend here today, an actual friend. We have spent a lot of time together. Heidi St. John, welcome.
Hey, you. I'm so happy to be here. Yay.
We did it. We finally did it.
It's a miracle.
The funny story is that we have spoken at a lot of conferences. I know who you were before you knew who I was. So I know who you were. We've spoken at some conferences together for a period of a couple of years. And you are at the booth and you always have this line out the doors. Like people are coming to see you and we've spent time together. And then I don't know what it was. I had never read your books. So then we're going to do this podcast swap and we're getting ready to prepare. And I was like, I'll get one of the books. And I got this Becoming Mom Strong. I was like, this is a really good book. What in the world? Why had I not read it yet, Heidi? Funny and there's like this depth to it and it's just like so meaningful. And I was like, oh, this is why she has all these people that are constantly coming up. I'm like, I'll be like your photographer, I'll follow you around. Like all these people are coming up, the kids are coming up, they're trying to get their Bible signed and all these different things. So then I was like, oh, okay, well, I get it. I mean, I, you know, it's like you become friends in person, like this dynamic person, and she's an amazing speaker. And then I was like, wow, well, she can write too, all the things. So I just read Becoming Mom Strong, and I know that you have a lot of books as well. And Becoming Mom Strong 365 came out in September. So that's a daily devotional type, how to fight with all that's in you for your family and faith. Mom of seven, a bunch of grandkids. You are the founders of Firmly Planted Family, and an organization focused on family discipleship, conference speaker, popular conference speaker, author, blogger at The Busy Mom. You speak all over the country. It's the truth, bringing hope and encouragement from God's word to women. I'm so glad you're here.
I am so glad too. Although it's more fun when we're hiking up Mount Hood or going to the ocean or all the things. So
with that one big rock.
That one big rock. Haystack rock. Yeah. I just love being with you and Josh. And we super love you. So proud of you.
You're so sweet. And also sourdough extraordinaire. You do the rocks. There's rocks and they emit steam, also make your old goldfish. And so it's really been a treat to see you in this transition to grandma.
Yeah.
It's just really precious. And this family that you know, you've got these adult kids and still you have kid, at home, and you're doing special things with her, which is really different. It's really different than having seven little ones running around.
Very different.
I see that you're pouring into her in these specific ways, really homemaking and honing your own skills and falling into that. And I would kind of love to start there, which is something that people don't talk about too much, is this transition. Mm. And I think there's a lot of moms that have little kids that listen. And but I'm a mom that's close to that transition. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that you talk about in this book, Becoming Mom Strong, which I think is an important piece that people are really wanting to know about. Just how do I transition out of here? And you say it doesn't have to be super jarring, that there are things that we can do. Mm. And part of it has to do with being passionate and keeping your passions, but just twisting them a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm losing my spot in my notes. I took a lot of notes.
You did.
I got super excited to see you. And now I am.
I think it was pretty cute that you sent me pictures of my own book.
Let's start with this. Oh, also happy birthday. You just had your birthday. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm floundering. I already told you you're way better at this than I am. Your podcast has 23 million downloads.
Yeah.
So people can check that out. The Heidi St. John. Basically, you've said nothing but yeah the whole time. So maybe we should do something real. Okay. This part of the empty nest.
I thought was so important, except now I can't find it. So I'm floundering. What are we going to say?
I'm waiting. I can start talking about it.
You can keep waiting. I just want you to keep waiting because it was beautiful. Okay, found it. Blinded by the transition. So you talk about the transition from me to us, that can be bumpy. But you're really also talking about the transition back from us to me. Eventually, the little ones no longer required so much of my time. While you'll always be a mother, your active role draws to a close sooner than you can possibly imagine, which is interesting coming from a mom of seven. So can you talk to us about how can we mother in a way that helps us be ready for that transition out of active motherhood?
I feel like the thing that helped me the most, and is still helping me, right? Because I'm still doing it, is that our goal, and when we, you know, told our kids, our goal is to get you to adulthood with as little regret as possible. Like, I don't want to look back and go, man, I wish I would have done that. Or I wish I would have protected you from this. You know, not that we'll ever do it perfectly, but that we want to try. We want to try as best we can. And I think a really dear friend of mine, when I was probably, when our oldest daughter, who's now 32, shocking, when she was 15, he said to me, are you getting ready for your kids to start leaving? Because no one told me. I mean, everyone talks about how fast they come in, right? You're having babies and you're having babies every other year. If you're like me, I felt like I was pregnant every 15 minutes, you know? And everyone talks about how quickly they come in, but they don't talk about how quickly they leave. And they leave as fast as they come in. So once they start leaving, it really upsets the equilibrium in your heart. And it certainly did that for me, especially if you're a very close family. And I just want moms to be ready for this. One of the things that's helped me transition is that I was doing things, I had hobbies, things I liked to do that had nothing to do with, you know, my active role as a mother. Writing was something I started doing. I started blogging. Long before blogging was cool, I was blogging really just to make the voices in my head stop talking to me, you know?
Well, you knew everything before it was cool. You were like the original podcaster, original blogger. You were like the first, I feel like one of the first women that was like speaking in the, you know, in the homeschool world. And you just out in front
crazy,
of
right?
Stuff.
It's crazy. I started speaking in the homeschool world when they didn't like women to speak in the homeschool world, which kind of cracks me up since it's mostly women homeschooling, but whatever. I'm not bitter. Do I sound like it? I'm fine.
And it's still happening a little bit. I know there's
it
been some
still
stories.
It still is happening a little bit. Not very much, thank goodness, but it is happening a little bit. But I just want moms to know that the reality is that you have to be ready in your heart for that transition. And you have to be able to let your kids go with an open hand. In other words, you look back. This is why I tell moms, don't misunderstand the value of what you're doing. It carries with it, I think, eternal significance, and it will impact your children and now my grandchildren. All this time, Jenny, what I was doing was I was raising parents for my grandchildren. That's what I was doing, right?
Big.
I want moms to know, like, it's all right to have a hobby, something that you really like to do that you can focus on. I remember when Savannah left, she got married and this, you know, beautiful ceremony, all the things. And our family's very close. I mean, you've been in my house. Mm-hmm. We just love hanging out. Like, our people just love to be together. My adult kids love to be together. We just love each other. And I think a lot of that is because we have spent so much time together. Mm-hmm. And the morning after Savannah got married, we all came downstairs for breakfast like we normally do. And I'm, you know, baking, you know, I'm cooking like I normally do. We all sit down to the table like we normally do. And Savannah's seat was empty. And see, I could cry just thinking about it. Savannah's seat was empty and nobody said anything. We all just sat there really quiet. All I could hear was clinking, you know, cups and silverware on plates. And it just was like the balance in our home wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And you have to adjust. And it wasn't that we weren't happy for Savannah, because we were. And actually, I mean, she married, you know, Ryan, she's married the most wonderful human being on the face of the earth. We couldn't have asked for a better husband for Savannah. But the reality was our family was changing. And every time a child comes in, every time they come in, your family changes. And every time they leave, your family changes again. And I think when we're ready for it, it helps a little bit. So for me, blogging, and I started speaking was an accident. My speaking career was a complete accident. Writing books was a total accident as well. I never planned on doing any of the stuff I'm doing right now. But I think the Lord has used it in my life in a lot of ways to help me transition from one season to the next. I also think that if it didn't make us sad, we did it wrong. Like, when they leave, if we don't grieve a little bit, I think we did it wrong. You know, my grieving, the fact that my kids are no longer at home, says, I loved having you here. I loved it. I loved homeschooling you. I didn't love every second of it. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. There was some yelling involved. But as a general rule, I just loved having you home. And I'm grateful for the time. And then you realize, okay, now I'm in a different season. And so 6 of our 7 now are gone. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Sailor's the only one who's left at home full time. And I'm trying really hard to, like you said, just to pour into her, because I realize now, right, I have the gift of hindsight. Mm-hmm. I realize that I'm going to blink and she's going to be gone. Yeah. And she's going to be gone. And so I want to just enjoy it. And I think, you know, so often as mothers, we're so busy, you know, trying to follow somebody's Instagram page or make my life look like somebody else's a reel, mm-hmm. you know, when reality is life is messy. Motherhood is messy. It's all just a big mess, but it's a beautiful mess. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful mess. And I want moms to really, I wish I was blindsided a little bit when my kids started leaving.
Yeah.
Because have you noticed this, Jenny? The older moms aren't talking about it.
No one talks about it.
No, because they're home crying in their closet. That's why.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you another thing that someone said to me, Pam Lobley. She wrote a book called Why Can't We Just Play? And it's a beautiful mm-hmm. book about early childhood. And she says that a lot of the moms don't talk about it because it's personal.
Yeah.
It's personal to their adult children. And so yep. there's this piece of saying, okay, I'm going to tell this story about the time that my daughter peed in the middle of the cake aisle at Michael's, and she peed and she splashed in her own puddle. You know, I'm going to tell
Oh, I wrote about that.
Yeah, it's your story, right?
Hey, that's my book.
Like, I recognize that story. And you're like, oh, it's funny. And that's one of your family stories. And we write about things like that. But then when they hit these ages that are more sensitive, 14, yeah. 15, 19, 20, you can't take that personal information anymore and put it in a book. And that's what Pam said. It's a lot harder to write about.
Much harder.
Talk about and write about. And so I just want to really highlight that this is a theme throughout this book, and it's a good one to read, and it's a good one to know about. You say the transition is rarely as graceful as it sounds in magazines. It may be hard to imagine a time when you won't be changing diapers, coordinating carpools, or homeschooling, but believe me, you won't always be mothering little ones or making sure your teen studies for that exam. So you're saying to make sure that you're prepared for it, and part of it is having a little bit to our life that we really love.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important reminder. And you talk about how to take that passion, the passions that you have. I mean, you say, look, I became a speaker accidentally, but also you were getting in trouble in elementary school for talking too much. So, I mean, you know, you became a speaker way back then. But I think let's land on this just a little bit, which is that parents are listening and they're always searching. What are we going to do for schooling? That yeah. homeschooling. And when I say that, I've started to say it like Zan Tyler, homeschooling, that's how she says it. It gives you, I don't regret one second, Heidi.
No. It was probably the hardest decision we ever made to pull our oldest daughter out of school, and also the best. Our bringing our kids home changed the trajectory of our family, changed our family for the better. It forced us to actually do life together. I mean, when you're dropping your kid off at school every day, somebody else is really raising them. I mean, let's be honest, right? So they got them 8-9 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. They got them for the better part of the day. You know, we get them at home then. This is at least my experience, when they're tired and worn out and grumpy and they just want to sit and watch cartoons, right? And bringing our daughter home, it just changed our family. It absolutely brought more life to our family. I think we're closer because of it. And again, I mean, I look back, not that we did it perfectly, but I don't regret anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful now, because I think we live our lives in seasons of reaping and sowing. We don't often talk about this in the culture, but we live our lives in seasons of reaping and sowing. I'm very much in a season of reaping now, right? So I'm coming up on, like, Jay and I are going to celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary this summer.
Are you going to go to the Big Rock?
I'm going to go. You know what? I'm going to go to the Rock in Scotland.
Oh, you should.
I want to go to the Rock. I want to go to Ireland. I just recently discovered my maiden name is Ginn, and a company called me to see if I would do a DNA thing and work with them on a project. So I did. And I discovered that the Ginns, shockingly, are all from Ireland. So I am almost full-blooded Irish. Yeah. So my husband was like, this explains so many things. So many things are making sense. But I want people to see this reaping and sowing principle, right? Because you pour into your children and you only get a season in which to do it. And so you're sowing. And sometimes it's exhausting. And sometimes you're crying over it. And sometimes you think, I can't do this one more second. Like, I've spent 187 years teaching long division. That's how it feels, right? And then all of a sudden, and you don't even know that you did it. you wake up one day and your daughter's not asking you to help her wash her hair anymore. And nobody is messing up the kitchen and nobody wants help with long division. And you don't even know when it stopped. It just did. And you enter the season then of reaping. And now all of a sudden you're reaping what you've been sowing. And if we want to reap the beautiful fruit of lifelong relationships with our kids, then it requires that we do some sowing on the front end, right? So my big takeaway from homeschooling 7 children isn't that, you know, gosh, I'm just so glad I had them home so we could do all 180 lessons of Saxon math every year. It wasn't that, right? It was that I got to know them, to really know who they are and learn how to fold them where they're bent. Like I wrote about in the book, I wish someone would have said that to me. Like no one ever saw, you know, Heidi just was talking too much. No one ever said, I wonder if you might be a teacher, right? They just said, be quiet. you know?
Yeah, you're reprimanded for that. And here you are. Your career is talking.
Yeah.
You are a podcaster with 23 million downloads. You have paved the way for other women to speak at these conferences and you're up on stage. You are literally paid to do the thing that you were reprimanded for when you were young.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, well, who cares if you talk too much? I mean, you care in the school setting because it messes up the environment and the whatever needs to be done for this larger group. But on an individual level, that's a great skill.
It is.
And it can be a career.
And you get your kids at home. And really the job of a parent, I think, is to sort of figure out, okay, all of our kids come to us with a unique bend, right? I want to fold my kids along the bend. When you fold them along the spot where they're not actually bent, you get frustration, you get angst, you get, you know, all the things. And I want to fold my kids where they're bent. I wish that someone would have folded me where I was bent, right? Like I said, I stumbled into it. For me, it was just...
Yeah, when you said it was an accident, I was like, oh, that's so interesting because it was there all along.
Yeah. Yeah. And when they asked me to do it, it was a woman who didn't show up to speak and they needed someone to fill in for her. Like, Heidi, could you fill in? I was like, oh, no. I'm the name tag girl. Like, I do the registration table and I liked it there, right? And they're like, no, we, you know, and finally, you know, my husband said, you know, you should try it. And it was in Seattle. It's like a core memory for me because I was so nervous. My heart's racing and this woman who I loved and really admired, Diana Waring, was sitting in the front row. And when it was over, she came up to me and said, you have a gift. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but that was amazing. And I was like, okay, well, thanks. I'm going back to the registration table. And like 2 weeks later, I got an invitation to speak in Idaho. And it sort of, you know, snowballed at that point. But when that happened, I was already, you know, I'd already started a blog. I don't even remember this, Jenny. You probably don't. You're a little bit younger than me. But in the very beginning of blogging, there was a site called Zanga. Girl, you should Google it sometime. I think it was X-A-N-G-A or Zanga or whatever. And I had a little blog there called Heavenly Homeschool. And this was back when, you know, finding an emoji was a really cool thing. Like, ooh, I could insert this little emoji and it blinks if I get the right, you know, if I can get the coding right, it can make it blink, stuff like that. And I just loved it. I loved writing about our family. I just loved writing about it. And that turned into what is now a career for me at the end of my homeschool years. I'm getting to the end.
Hair thinning is complicated. The problem is, it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for only 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OUTSIDE. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com is spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code is OUTSIDE. That's Nutrafol.com. Promo code OUTSIDE. We love bread in our house. I mean, who doesn't? PB&Js, turkey sandwiches, even just morning toast with butter. It's all good in our home. We're always on the hunt for a healthy alternative. That's why our family loves Hero Bread. It is delicious. They make delicious bread and products free of consequences or compromise. They've made carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. We love the classic white bread and the seeded bread, which are both made with olive oil and have a wonderful, rich taste to them. I was so surprised how soft both types of bread were. They were just the right blend of chewiness and sturdiness for making sandwiches. This bread is a favorite in our house for sure. The tortillas were also delicious, and we loved making simple cheese quesadillas as a snack. We're talking 0 net carbs, high in fiber, 0 grams of sugar. What more could you ask for? Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code OUTSIDE at checkout. That's code OUTSIDE at HERO.CO.
And I think, you know, going back to the transition, the fact that I have something else that I'm doing that I'm passionate about is really helping. It really does help. And I think homeschool moms especially, I think all moms, but homeschool moms especially, those of us who have just poured our lives into our children, I think it's really important. Have something else that you also love that's going to continue after your kids are gone, because it helps you. Then you're not stalking your kids like at college or whatever. You're not like, you know, 8 a.m, hello, it's your mother. What are you doing? You know, I'm over here thinking about how you're not here for dinner. You know, just, you're aww, not doing that because you're looking forward, you know, to what, like Jenny, you're not going to have it. I don't think you're going to have much trouble. I mean, it still hurts no matter how you slice it. It's still hard, but you've got an identity. You've got things that you and your husband are doing that will continue.
So like, right? Can I take this podcast equipment and put it in one of those camper vans? And
girl, yes. Yes. I have podcasted from around the country out of my motorhome.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Jay and I have idea. Girl, we want to do stuff. We're going to travel. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to do stuff. Yeah. And I'm excited for the new season too. I mean, I still, like, I'm hanging on to Sailor pretty tight, as you well know, mm-hmm. you know, trying to just soak up every second with that girl, because I know I'm going to blink and it's going to be gone. And I don't want to look back with regret.
Right. So this is a twofold thing, because it's preparing you for this transition, but also this Linda Flanagan wrote a book called Take Back the Game about our obsession with youth sports.
Ugh.
And I love the book because she's talking about, like, what are we presenting adulthood as to our children? Like, is adulthood just a place where you sit on the sidelines? Was adulthood a place where you just cry because your child's seat at the table is no longer there? I mean, right. Off they go. Is that what adulthood is? So you framed it in this way of taking your passion, taking your dream, and we all have them. It's like, you know, we see with mm-hmm. you, it's like you like this homemaking. You're out on the road, you're speaking, but you like this homemaking. Everybody has their things that they are passionate about. And you say, match it, keep it, but match it to the season of life that you're in.
Yes, girl.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah. Well, I think this is what kind of goes back to, and I, to speaking to the younger moms, who they might see a mom like me, which, by the way, I'm 54, so no spring chicken, right? So, but moms who might look at me and go, oh, I want to do what Heidi's doing. Like, I want to speak and I want to podcast and I want to write books and all things, but you're 21 years old. And you've got a 9-month-old, this is probably not the season for you. And actually, that's okay. That's okay. Because when we match the gift and the passion of the season that we're in, it allows us to enjoy the seasons as they move. Nobody understands seasons more than women, right? Because of our bodies tell us what season of life we're in. Like Heidi is like almost past menopause now. Well, that's a season, girl, and it's not a fun one, right? So we have seasons, right? There are seasons when we're having babies, seasons when we're raising them, seasons when our body is like, thank you for playing this lovely gift of childbearing. I have a very unhappy gift for you. It's called menopause. And from here till the next 7 years, you're going to get hot flashes and you won't be able to sleep all night. It's a season, right? It's a season. But I want moms to really look at their lives that way and appreciate the season. So if you can, so for example, my daughter Savannah has 4 children now. They are like 10, 8, 6, and little baby Thatcher is like, I think he's 1.5, almost 2. So Thatcher's almost 2. And Savannah, I love making sourdough, as you well know. Savannah tells me the other day, Mom, I can't do it. And I was like, you're right. You're right. So I'm going to make sourdough for you because it's not your season. She cannot maintain the starter. It stresses her out, right? It's not life-giving to her because she's trying to keep little kids alive. So I said, listen, I applaud you for recognizing this is not the season for Savannah to be making sourdough, right? Because she gets that she's in a season right now that's very time intensive with her little ones. And life is like that. And so if you can bring the passion that you have to match the season that you're in, all of a sudden, instead of taking you away from the thing, it enhances where you're at. So it's something that, and so I've been blogging now for a really long time. And I really transitioned from blogging to podcasting probably about 8 or 9 years ago. And I have watched bloggers, women that I know personally, who have literally thrown away the best thing that they had, which is their children and their marriages, for platform, because we so desperately want platform. We want the blogging platform, or we want the podcast platform, or we want this giant Instagram following or whatever, but it's not life-giving, right? What's life-giving is what's inside your home, right? And we want to focus on that in the season that we're in. It's not to say you can't do it. I blogged all throughout raising my children, but it's understanding priorities and being able to prioritize things so that you don't give up the best thing in pursuit of a good thing. And when you do that, when you give up that best thing, oftentimes we find out those are the life-changing moments that if we could go back, we would make a different choice. And so I'm always telling moms, pay attention. What's in front of you? It won't be in front of you for very long. A blog will always be there. The internet, as Brad Paisley would tell you, is forever. And so the internet is forever, right? But your children are only children for a little while. So pay attention to the season that you're in. And use your giftings and your passions to mold to the season, not the other way around.
That's beautiful. And, you know, you do feel a little bit like you lose yourself. I mean, I remember there was times where I felt jealous, I guess would be the right word. It was like, I'm doing this thing on the side, but I can hardly do it because I've got these kids. And so
right.
It's waning, and I see someone else and they're in a different situation and they're plowing through.
Yeah.
But I don't think that you lose yourself. I don't. And it's counterintuitive. It's like you're this homeschool mom. I have got the most full life I could ever imagine. How could that be? How could that be? That here we have this full life given up. Well, you gave up your Tupperware career.
I did. Bye-bye. it was flourishing.
you surrender and other things grow, and they grow in different ways. It's like, well, I gave up my career as a math teacher. This is so much better. I have to be honest.
Yeah.
And it was great. And I loved that too. But I did love that season, but you give up and things change. And I like that. Keep a passion though. Keep some sort of a passion in whatever you can with the season that you're in is so practical and really important. Grace for the season we're in and grace for the seasons to come. Heidi, you came from a hard background, really hard background. Mm. You talk about this in the book, raised in a home with strife and violence and childhood trauma, but with a facade, which I think often is even harder. Mm-hmm. Looked like this wonderful Christian family from the outside, but it was just a facade. And you say, this is a huge statement. My father's profound disappointment in who I was had shaped the way I saw myself and convinced me I was destined to fail. Mm. How do you become a mother when you never saw it done right?
Mm. Well, for me, I mean, thanks for asking. It's such a good question. I think there's a lot of women listening to this who haven't seen it done right, right? And so we think, well, it wasn't modeled well for me, so how could I do it? And I remember just this, my dad's disappointment in me. And as I've grown older, I realized that he was carrying a lot of what his dad projected onto him and his father before him. So there was a lot of generational dysfunction and violence in our home. But I had to really lean into how the Lord saw me. And when I was 9 months pregnant with our first baby, and I think I wrote about this, I went to a childbirth education class, and Nola, she was the childbirth instructor. You know, these people lie to you for a living. If you just breathe this way, it won't hurt. Like, you know, all this stuff. And I mean, I'd never had a baby, so I didn't.
My mom never lied to me.
Oh, man.
My mom said from the beginning, she said,
oh, gosh,
having a baby is like pulling a cabbage patch out of your nostril. That was the message.
Someone should have said that to me. Well, I'm in these, you know, Lamaze classes or whatever it was, Bradley method or whatever it was.
Yeah, none of them work.
And I'm sitting there, and I mean, you know, Jenny, you've never seen me pregnant, but it is a sight to behold. Like, I'm one of those girls that you can't tell I'm pregnant from the back, but I'll tell you what, in the front, is like straight out in front. My husband's like, we need to put like some sort of an alarm on you. Anyway, everyone leaves that night and I'm maybe 2 days from my due date. Savannah was overdue. And I just sat there, started crying, and I could feel, you know, I feel this little baby kicking and hiccuping and everything. And Jenny sat down next to me, not Jenny, and Nola sat down next to me.
I would have sat down next to you though.
You would have, girl. And I wish that you were there, but you'd have been like eight. She just said, why are you crying? She said, you're going to be fine. She didn't realize I wasn't crying because of the whole childbirth thing. I didn't have frame of reference for it. I was crying because I didn't want my daughter to see me the same way that my dad saw me. And I didn't want to raise my daughter in the same way that I had been raised. And I didn't know how to do it. And she just said, you don't know who you are. She said, you know what? The Lord's going to write a story of victory in your life. And up until that point, I felt like I'd seen myself really as a victim, largely. And I think the culture loves that, right? We love to see ourselves as victims. It's all over the place. And she said, you know, God wants to write a new story in your life. And she just laid her hand on my belly. And that woman prayed over me. And in that moment, I think the healing in my life that so desperately needed to happen, happened. And I knew, because Jay and I were praying over it, I was asking the Lord, just help me not to be this angry mother, because I only ever saw anger. And I did not want to be an angry mom. I never knew what was going to set my dad off. I never knew, like, the police were a regular fixture at my house when I was growing up. And I just didn't want that for my family. And I felt like the Lord promised me that I would live to see a generation set free. And you fast forward 22 years after that moment, and my daughter tells me I'm going to have a baby. And I happen to have a little Doppler at my house. And she laid on a couch, and we searched for that heartbeat. And as soon as I heard little Noah's heartbeat for the first time, I just started crying, because the Lord's promise had been made true in my life. I did live to see a generation set free. Savannah and her children will never know the feeling of the anger and the sting of abuse. They'll have their own struggles, but they're not going to have that one. And God really set me free. And I always tell women, listen, if Heidi St. John, who cannot keep houseplants alive, could have seven children and homeschool them, anyone can do it. Anyone can do it. And I love that the Bible teaches us that God's strength is found in weakness. And then when we come to him in weakness, he replaces it with strength. And it's not our strength, it's his strength. And that was really just a life-changing moment for me, you know, for my husband and I to celebrate, you know, 35 years. I mean, being married to me, Jenny, is no picnic. I'm kind of an all-in girl, you know. Anything I do, I'm sort of all in. And I just think, man, I look back on my life, and I'm going to try not to cry. I look back on my life with honestly just nothing but gratitude. I'm so thankful. Thankful that I have seven children. Thankful that all the things that people say sometimes, really, they ask you stupid questions. Like, if you could go back and do it again, you know, would you do it differently? Like your childhood, like you had a choice. Would I go back? No, I don't want to do that again. Would I change it? No, it's part of who I am. It's part of the lens through which I see the world was shaped when I was really little. And we're shaping the world for our children. They're going to see the world through the lens that we put in front of them when they're little. It's a precious opportunity. And I just feel grateful that God took this broken girl. I mean, when I was 19, Jay married me about as broken as a 19-year-old girl could be. And through the past 35 years, you know, the love of my husband and just the healing that has taken place in my heart have changed me. And a large part of that happened because of motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
It's a true story.
The gift. That's mm-hmm. the gift, is that our kids grow and we grow. Yeah. And I do not think we become lesser versions of ourselves. And I do not think that we lose ourselves. And I don't think that homeschooling does that.
No.
I think that it allows you to grow. And when people say, like, I could never have the patience, like, well, all of us feel that way. But the point is that you grow the patience.
Yeah.
And then you come out on the other end a vastly different person. Yeah. Then when you came in, you have the sentence in your book when you're talking about what you were just talking about, you're about to be a mom. Mm-hmm. I wanted to read it because I thought it was so powerful. You said, I feared my baby would grow to fear me mm-hmm. the way I had feared my father behind the curtain. And you talk about this in the book, that these things that are behind the curtain, like with the Wizard of Oz, the things that not everyone sees.
Mm-hmm.
I was almost desperate for someone else to be this baby's mom.
Yeah.
That was your starting point.
And this is your ending point, this place of strength and helping other women. And the transition only happened because you were a mother.
Yeah.
Because you dove into that with these seven kids.
It's no secret. We love music in our household. And music lessons don't need to be expensive, boring, or stressful. Vogtberg Music Academy offers online lessons that siblings can share in the comfort of your own home. Instead of dragging kids to lessons and paying hundreds of dollars a month for one student, use my code OUTSIDE to get 50% off the first month when your children learns piano, fiddle, guitar, mandolin, or ukulele at VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. For only $15, get weekly lessons and practice principles, 24/7 access to your instructor, live student onboarding calls, and video vaults that provide dozens of extra lessons for students who want to progress faster. With Vogtberg Music Academy, you will never have to nag your children to practice as they work toward earning badges on their success path and performing for community student showcases. Once again, use my code OUTSIDE to give it a try. You get 50% off this month and give your children a lifelong love of music at VogtbergMusicAcademy.com. That's spelled VOETBERG MusicAcademy.com. And use code OUTSIDE when you sign up. This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a 1% for the planet member who believes personal health and health of the environment are connected. If you spend as much time outside as we do, which we hope you do, or really any time outside at all for that matter, you're bound to have kids that get nicked, scraped, or banged up, or perhaps come in from outside with an unexplained rash, or maybe you end up on the wrong side of a fall or a bad scrape yourself. That's why we love Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is an all-natural and non-toxic topical solution that is formulated to help repair and heal damaged skin. It can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, but also burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It works by mimicking the natural immune response to help soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. It's also safe and non-toxic, making it suitable for use on all skin types, including sensitive skin. It's really easy to add to your first aid kit. As if all of that wasn't amazing enough, Active Skin Repair donates 1% of all sales to grassroots environmental initiatives to protect and restore our national world, which is super cool. Visit ActiveSkinRepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and their commitment to 1% for the planet. You can use code 1000hours to save 20% on all Active Skin Repair products. That's ActiveSkinRepair.com.
Let's just talk about these curtains real quick. I thought one of the biggest statements in the whole book was the sentence of, our children see the real mom. Our children see the real mom. And I thought it was funny because the story, when one of the kids came up to you and said, we got to have a meeting. She's like six years old. And she's like the head of the council. You know, she's coming in on behalf of all the other children. We've been talking. And I am the one who's been sent to let you know that you're not really fun anymore.
It's true. It's true. Well, we've been studying representative government, right?
So, and also, there was actually a lot here that I related with. There was a whole lot in this book I related with, Heidi, like this juxtaposition of the tooth fairy didn't come and I fell asleep when my 15-year-old was trying to tell me these really important things about his life because it's 11:30 and you're exhausted and you were up last night nursing. I mean, this piece of being pulled in a lot of different directions and feeling like you're really failing. I think that's one of the hardest things about being a mom is that on a daily basis, you are failing multiple times.
Multiple times.
On top of this, then they're going to come in and you said, you know, they say, you said we were going to, and this is how our family is. It's like, we're like, okay, we're starting this new school schedule tomorrow. And then the big mom, that's only going to last 2 days. We already know. Here's all the things we're going to do. You know, and they were saying that you said you were going to do this and we were going to do this fun thing. And now we're not. And your voice sounds angry. how do we reconcile this piece of, we're really loving it, but we're not that great at it because it's hard.
Yeah. And we're not always loving it. I think it's okay to say we're not always loving it. It's okay to not always love it. And bad days don't make bad moms. You know, sometimes we have bad seasons, right? Or difficult seasons that we're in. But I just remember, like, you know, we're learning as we go, what's really important, what's really not. Like, what worked for me in January might not work for me in May, and that's okay. And what worked for me that last year might not work for me this year, and that's okay. It, motherhood kind of keeps you on your toes. At least it did me, you know, it keeps you humble.
Well, yeah, like, that's how our kids' lives are going to be too.
Yes, it's 100%. It's real life.
Yeah, someone just said recently, what a curse it would be to have a perfect mother. Like, that's awful.
No kidding. Yeah, because then you'd go into it yourself going, well, it's over for me. First mistake right. You make. Yeah.
Right.
But instead, my kids got to see me, like, you know, they got to see me raw and real. And Jay and I made a very conscious decision to live our lives in front of our kids. And that meant that sometimes they saw us cry at the dinner table. Yeah. That meant that, you know, and obviously age appropriate, and we weren't sharing things with them that would have been outside of their ability to understand. But we tried really hard to let them see us as people who are just trying to work our way through stuff, because we knew stuff's going to throw things at our kids. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it is, right?
Oh, it sure is.
In fact, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a lot. They're going to be, our kids are going to be parenting in the age of AI companions.
No thanks.
Of AI girlfriends, and it's here. And so It really does open your eyes to this fact that you said, that we're raising parents. This period of time when they're a child is way shorter than the time that they're going to be a parent of other children. And it's a big deal to think about. There's one other topic in this book. There's a lot of topics in this book. And I just want people to know, and you have a lot of books. Like I said, there's this Becoming Mom Strong. There's the 365 that goes along with it, which I know you talked about was hard to do, the 365 days.
Don't do it.
We're talking about failures, the different roles that we're raising parents, the dreams that you're letting go, the sacrificing the dreams, but swapping it, repurposing your passion, formulaic parenting, homeschooling, what do veteran moms have to offer? But one topic that you have in here, miscarriage, your childhood, the different struggles. There's a lot in this book. Like I said, I was like, oh, whoa, this is a lot of Heidi. I didn't know. This is amazing. I got to read all the other ones. But you talk in here actually about a topic that I've never talked to anybody about and have never read about either, which is this world that we live in that is filled with drama because of social media.
Come on.
And the point of what you're talking about is looking at it through the lens of what sort of example do we want to set for our kids? Mm-hmm. So you have a really big story in here about a lost friendship, no fixing it. You have a story in here about when you're upset with your mom. And so you just like went under, you know, like.
Oh, I vague booked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. She called
I don't do that. I don't do that anymore.
But how do we navigate this? This is a new world where relationships are virtual and there's a lot of nuance there. What example do we want to set for our kids with all of that?
Well, I think we sometimes unintentionally invite drama into our lives by participating in either the salacious gossip or the sort of the sidewinder views of somebody else's life, and we invite it into our life. And I think when I was younger, you know, you kind of lean and go, I want to hear all the things, right? I want to hear all the things. Tell me all the things. And now, girl, I got, you know, soon to be 5 grandchildren and daughters-in-law and sons-in-law, and my life is on fire. And I do not want, if it doesn't directly impact me, I do not want to hear about it. I'm la, 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 la. Like, I don't want to hear about it. And actually, that would have been a really good posture for me to take when my kids were little, right? Because we invite this stuff into our lives. And what I've tried to tell my kids is, if you're not a part of the problem or part of the solution, then you're not part of the conversation. Like, you don't need to hear about it. There was something that happened here at the Homeschool Resource Center. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Jenny, you've been here. There's a lot of, we have, you know, 800 kids here at any given time.
It's a lot of moving parts, a lot of opinions.
A lot of opinions, a lot of different families. And there was a situation that happened, and Jay and I were talking about it over dinner, you know, sitting at our, you know, just sitting in front of the fireplace talking about it. And my daughter overheard, and she was like, wait a minute, is that blah, 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 blah? And I just looked at her and I said, you know what? I want you to pretend like you heard nothing in this conversation, and I'm not going to tell you anything else. And she goes, why? I said, because you don't need to carry the burden. And that's what I want parents to hear. It is a burden when we invite drama into our families. You're burdening your kids unnecessarily. You're burdening yourself unnecessarily. You know, we get into that comment, people lob, you know, bombs at each other over the internet, you know, over the walls of the internet. And I used to do it, and I don't do it anymore because it's not helpful. Right. And so, like, I'll tell the truth to someone, but if someone vague books, dude, stay away from that stuff. Like, if someone says, you know, if you're suffering today or your friend is really hurt, just stay away. Because that post is aimed at somebody. Like there's someone that the author of that post is trying to reach. And I don't want to participate anymore. And I think if I could change one thing, Jenny, and of course I can't change anything, but if I could change one thing about the culture over the last 30 years, I would wish that social media had never been invented. I actually think it's done way more harm than good.
Oh, absolutely.
And especially it hurts our kids. It hurts our kids. Yep. And moms, you can be a good example to your kids by just steering clear of drama. I did this thing out on the road. You know, I tend to have different themes on the road when I'm speaking. Like this year, my theme this year is shine. And so everywhere I go, I'm talking about shine. You know, how do we shine in a dark world? How can we shine? Well, years ago, right about the time I was writing this book, my theme was no drama mama. Like, how can I help? How can I teach these moms to be no drama mamas? And I did a whole like workshop about it. I still talk about from time to time, but just kind of going through the points of these are ways that you can identify if you're a drama magnet, or maybe you're the person who's causing the drama. Maybe you're stirring the pot and just stop. Teach your children to live in peace. And you can't pass on what you don't possess. So if I'm not living in peace, my kids will not be able to live in peace either. And I grew up with constant drama, constant strife. And they're just, I reached a point in my life when I didn't want it anymore. And I frankly think it's healthy for children. They don't need your drama. And frankly, neither do you.
Mm-hmm. Get off the drama train.
Come on.
This part of the book, I think, even just this one part is so worth getting this book and reading it, because I don't think anyone else is really talking about it. And, you know, I say a lot, I don't know if the majority of our listeners are Christian, if they read the Bible, if they're not, I have no idea. I don't even know how you find those things out. But I always say Proverbs, whether you're Christian or not, you should read Proverbs.
Oh my goodness.
You should read it, because the way to live is there. And you have the verse that says, those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. And I think also in this part, there's a Proverbs that says, if you rebuke a scoffer, you are going to heap burning coals on your head. You invite abuse, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. You have to be like, if you're lobbing bombs on the internet, you might be inviting abuse to your mm-hmm. own self. So I think you have to be really cautious there, especially in a season when you're already overloaded with a lot. So get off the drama train, let go, stop thinking about it, guard your mouth and your tongue to keep yourselves from calamity. We talk mm-hmm. about divisiveness. Don't drag others into the mud. Mm-hmm. Friends don't invite friends into drama.
Wait, that's a good one.
This is good. This is your writing.
Oh, I wrote that.
Don't add fuel to the fire. If you got a reply, reply privately. So I really, how dumb is it that I didn't realize this book was going to be so good, Heidi? And it's been around for a bit. Becoming Mom Strong, How to Fight with All That's in You for Your Faith and Your Family. You have got your Heidi St. John podcast, 23 million and growing downloads, HeidiStJohn.net. And the author of the Busy Mom blog, a lot. I mean, you have got this wisdom here. We're talking about the babies all the way to the grandbabies. And so there's a lot to be encouraged by and to find strength in. Heidi, we always end our podcast with the same question. What's a favorite memory from your childhood that was outside?
Outside. Oh my goodness. Well, it'd have to be Yahats, Oregon. This is a no-brainer for me. I grew up with my grandparents taking me to the Oregon coast. And so the Oregon coast is unlike any other beach in the United States in that it's just rugged and beautiful. It doesn't matter which direction you look. And my granddad would run out, you know, my grandparents only had one child. So my mom was an only child and they just loved that they had seven grandchildren, absolutely loved it. And so they would take us to the ocean and my grandmother would be inside, you know, making dinner. And we'd be out by the water and my grandpa would go, Grandma's not looking, run, 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 run. And we'd take our shoes off, you know, and we'd run out. The Pacific Ocean's very cold. And we'd run out into the water and my grandpa was just howling, you know, just yes, get wet, do all the things. And we had about 35 seconds before Grandma came out of the house, like everybody in, you know, so they had this constant, you know, little tug of war going. But they took us everywhere up and down the Oregon coast. My love for hiking the falls, Multnomah Falls, you know, all the beautiful places in the Pacific Northwest, most of them my grandparents took me to. And I also think that's a really good reminder. You know, if you're a grandparent or soon to be one, you're going to have huge impact in the lives of those kids. It cannot be understated how much of an impact my grandparents made on me. And I still love going to Yahats to this day.
You know, I ask people the same question every time. What's a favorite memory from your childhood that was outside? And so many people talk about their grandparents.
I mean, yeah.
So many.
Well, grandparents have a little more bandwidth. right?
And do things
a little outside. More bandwidth for
do
it,
and that's okay. With your grandkids, they're going to remember that. They really do. People are talking about it long after you're gone. They're going to be talking about that. So, what a beautiful answer, Heidi. Thank you so much for being here,
Jenny. I love you, girl. Thanks for having me.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.